Okay, we're going to finish this series that we started 8 weeks ago. That's a long series. I don't normally do 8 week series. Sometimes I do. But the name of the series is, If It Is To Be, It's Up To Me. It's not up to God. God has blessed us so much. He has given us so much. He's put resources at our fingertips, all kinds of resources at our fingertips, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally. We just got all kinds of things. We live in a blessed society today that we have so much out there that can develop us, from the Word of God, the promises of God, the opportunities that we have as Americans. We are such a blessed nation. We've talked about Romans 12. We talked about where it says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't think like they do. Don't make choices like they make choices. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everything that we have talked about comes out of a spiritual relationship with God. You can have all kinds of success in life. You can be rich. You can fulfill every dream. But listen, if you don't have a relationship with God, it's not worth squat. The main thing is the main thing. We need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everything else of true success flows out of that relationship. And he just, listen, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, does that mean everybody's going to be millionaires? No, but it's the blessing of the Lord that enriches us. It enriches us, and when we do it God's way, there's no curse that's attached to it. See, you can get rich the wrong way, and there can be a curse attached to it. If you cheat people, guess what? You're setting yourself up. You're sowing seeds for your own failure down the road. But when we do it God's way, listen, it's truly a blessing. Today, we're going to talk about facing the giants in life and work. Facing our giants. Have you noticed that as Christians we have opposition? Opposition in life and work. God has given us all a work to do. Some of it is, all of it is through our relationship with Him, but our profession, what we do in life, it's not about what you do, it's about how you do it. I believe that there's more calling than just to preach. I would not be a nurse for $50 an hour. No, I would not. The first time I got puked on, I would be done. But you know what? There's people who are put together that it's insanity, I know. But they thrive on that. They thrive on taking care of people and helping people. I believe it's a calling. I believe doctors are called. So I think that in life we all have callings that God has put us uniquely together with our personality, with our giftings, with our dreams. And then he sets out to fulfill the dreams that he puts in our hearts. But so many times we miss those dreams. And many times we become discouraged because of the giants that come against us. We're going to look at a story today. We don't have time to read it because it's like 52 verses. 1 Samuel 17, you might want to read that when you go home. It's the story of David and Goliath, one of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible. When I was a little bitty boy, I had one of those storybook Bibles. And on page 101, I don't know how I remember that, but I opened it up and there was David and Goliath. But, you know, the story of David is not just about him killing a giant. That's part of the story. But this story starts sometime before that, when God sends the prophet to Jesse's house to anoint a king. Saul had failed. God had rejected him from being king. And God sent the prophet to Jesse's house to anoint the new king. And you know the story, how that they started parading Jesse's sons before the prophet. And you know, even the prophet saw the firstborn son, and there he was, big, strong, burly, handsome guy. And he thought in his heart, this is surely the one. But God says, no. So you judge by the outside, I judge by the inside. Ooh, that's good. How much do we judge by the outside? How much do we judge by observation? But God looks at the heart. So they paraded all of the sons through, and God says, nope, he's not the one. He's not the one. He's not the one. He's not the one. And they run out of sons. The prophet says, Jesse, you got any more sons? He says, well, I got one, but he's just a kid, and he's out keeping the sheep. He said, send for him. They brought him in, and guess who it was? It's little David. That's a good name. That's a good name. Little David. And the Spirit of God come on the prophet. And he said, arise, anoint him, for he is the one that I've chosen. Wow. He chose him to be what? King. King of Israel. He's the one that's going to lead my people. Now, little did anybody realize that at that point, except God, the impact that David would have and what he would become in the nation of Israel. See, one of the names of Jesus is Son of David. Son of David. He becomes the lineage of Messiah. But you know, there's an interesting thing that happens. David began this journey that day. God put a dream in his heart when he anointed him king. Did he become king the next day? No. How about the next week? How about the next month? How about the next year? In fact, we don't know exactly how long it was before David became king. But he carried the anointing of God from an early age. David was probably, we don't know how old he was. I've heard estimates of that he was a young teenager when he fought Goliath. So he was young, and he had this dream in his heart that God had put there. See, I'm convinced that every one of us has a dream in our heart that God puts there. We call it dream, we call it vision. We see ourselves doing certain things. And usually it's a long time from the time that we see it till it comes to pass. Before David ever fought the giant, he fought many giants. I want to talk about those real quick. The first one that he fought is called delay. Delay. The vision did not come to pass quickly. It was delayed. What happened to David after he was anointed to be king? Was he taken into royalty? Was he taken into the king's palace to be trained and to be mentored? You know what he did? He went right back keeping sheep. I can imagine. Here David has this thing in his heart. He has this thing that God has put in there. And he's thinking, God, I thought you called me to be king. What am I doing out here by myself with a bunch of stinky sheep? I bet he wondered what was going on. Was God at work? Yes. Was there a delay? Yes. His father sent him back to shepherd the flock. To shepherd the flock. We don't know how long he was there. Now, we do know, and we're going to find out later, that as he gets closer to fighting Goliath, that his brothers make fun of him. They make fun of him. It said, and refers to him as the shepherd boy. The shepherd boy. What are you doing here? Are you wanting to see something big? Shepherd boy over a few mangy sheep? So there was a delay. But can I just tell you what happens during delay? God is working on character on the inside of us. There's a space from the time that we have the dream till we see it fulfilled. And it's delay. Some of it is man-made. Some of it is self-made. But sometimes God is just proving if we will be faithful with what's at hand to do. Now, this whole series has been about stewardship. You own what? Nothing. You have nothing. You own nothing. Everything that you are and everything that you have belongs to God. Your spirit, your soul, your body, your relationship, all everything that you are and have belongs to God. What is the first requirement in the New Testament of a steward? That he be found faithful. Faithful. What happens to an unfaithful steward? He loses his stewardship. What happens to a faithful steward? He increases in his stewardship. Remember the story of the talents, this man gave, five talents, two talents, and one talent, and he goes away and comes back and calls them in, and the five turned into ten, and the two turned into four, and the one remained one, and he called him unfaithful. So sometimes delay has to do with us, that we're not being faithful to fulfill the dream that's in our hearts. Sometimes it's man-made, and sometimes it's God proving us, not to Him. God already knows. We're proving it to ourselves that we can be faithful. It was quite a long time after I realized that I was called to preach before I ever pastored a church. I surrendered to the ministry. I began to prepare for ministry. I went to Bible school. I studied for ministry. I came back to Batesville. I got a job at the shoe factory. Anybody remember the shoe factory? I worked for the shoe factory. And finally, I got a church. There was a delay. So one of the giants that we face, and one of the giants that we're going to have to overcome, is this delay thing. It's how you react to delay that determines how you will overcome. The second one, and it's a dream buster, it's the giant of discouragement. The giant of discouragement. Finally, one day, Jesse calls David in and he says, "Here, take this basket of stuff and take it to your brothers and give me a report about how things are going." So David gets to leave the sheep in somebody else's care. He gets to go where the action is. Now, he's not part of the army. Three of his brothers were in the army. David stayed home to do what? Keep sheep. Oh, keep sheep. He was a warrior at heart. David, you know, one of the things that David was known for was that he was a warrior. He was a fighter. In fact, one of the reasons that God didn't allow him to build the temple was that he was a man of war. So David had war in his heart. He was a conqueror. So David goes and he gets to observe all of this stuff. And he goes to where they're at, and it's close to the Valley of Elah. Now we got to go to, Kathy and I got to go to the Valley of Elah where this confrontation took place when we were in Israel. And but the thing that David ran into is that while he was there, Goliath comes out and he challenges the army of Israel. Send out a man to fight. And everybody was terrified. Everybody was terrified. Now here's the word. It's easy to begin to become discouraged. When you look out there and there's this giant and he's big and he's looming large and he's telling you that he's going to tear you apart, that come on out and fight me, and all of a sudden discouragement takes over. How many know that discouragement can be a giant in your life? It really can. It can be a huge giant in your life. So the second dream buster that David had to overcome, he looks around him. He sees his brothers. He sees Saul. He sees all of the other armies, and they're terrified by this giant. There was discouragement in the camp of Israel. Thank God, David overcame discouragement. Here's the third one. It's called disapproval. Disapproval. So David begins to inquire, what's going to happen to the man who fights and beats this giant? And they begin to tell him, well, you know, and this is good. He'll be a hero. He gets to marry the king's daughter. And he doesn't have to pay taxes for the rest of his life. Glory to God. Wouldn't that be something? And he kept inquiring around, and his brothers hear him inquiring, and they scold him. They scold him, says, hey, what are you talking so big for, shepherd boy? Won't you go back and take care of your little flock? Leave the war up to the men of war. Yeah, and they were shaking in their boots. They were shaking in their boots. So David had to deal with the giant of disapproval. He was not embraced as this mighty warrior. What dream did he have in his heart? He saw himself as king. He saw himself as a conquering king. He saw himself as a mighty warrior. And everybody else saw him as a shepherd boy. Remember that song? When everybody sees a shepherd boy, God may see a king. And that's what God saw. God saw a king. Guess what David saw? David saw a king too. But he still had to work through this giant of disapproval. The next one was doubt. Doubt. David said, hey, I'll go. Now, he's a teenager. All of these mighty warriors of Israel, King Saul, who stood head and shoulders above everybody else, all of the warriors, they were terrified of this giant. Teenager, somebody in the youth group. Hey, I'll go. I'll fight them. You know what they did? They doubted his ability. They doubted his ability. Hey, we probably would have too. That's just a dumb teenager talking. He can't fight that giant. He's been a warrior since his youth. King Saul got ear of it and called David in. And he began to talk to him. And King Saul says, listen, you're but a youth. He's been a warrior since his childhood. You're just a youth. You can't fight him. You know what David said? Now here's where he's destroying giants. He said, you know, I'm a shepherd boy. And I watch my father's flock. And there's a time when a lion came to take one of my flock. And they got it, and I went after him, and I caught him by the beard, and I slew him. And another time, a bear came, and I slew him. David didn't doubt himself, but everybody else doubted him. And you know what? Whether other people doubt you or you doubt yourself, that is a giant that we all have to overcome. Can I just tell you, when you start out pursuing your dream, you can't do it. It's going to take God to do it. And that's what we need to realize, that everything should flow out of our relationship with God. We can do anything that God has called us to do. We can be the church that God has called us to be. You can accomplish anything in life that God has called you to do. If that dream is in your heart and God put that dream there, you can slay the giants and you can overcome. All the experts doubted his ability. Okay, so let's turn it around now. How do you defeat the giants? Number one, and this is, and I just talked about this, remember how God's helped you in the past. David rehearsed it to King Saul about the lion, about the bear. See, what was happening back there when it seemed like nothing was going on and David was back there by himself with the sheep? Anointed to be king. He was the next king of Israel. He was anointed by God to be the king. And it seemed like absolutely nothing was going on. What was going on? God was proving him. He was remaining. Listen to this. He was faithful where he was at. See, you can get so caught up in a dream that you neglect what's at hand. I want to say that again. You can get so caught up, even with a God-given dream, that you neglect to do and be faithful with what's at hand. The dream is not fulfilled in one day. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. And it happens while you are being faithful with what God has given you to do at this present hour. You need to know that God is at work with you where you are right now. Are you the finished product yet? No. You're not the finished product. God's still at work on you. He's still working on me. Yeah. He's working. So David remembered how God had helped him in the past. He rehearsed it. And it, you know what? It proved to be something good. Here's the second thing. Use the tools God has given me now. Saul finally agrees. He brings him in. He says, okay, here's what you're going to need. Everybody knows what you need. You know that? Everybody seems to know how you ought to do something, what you need, what it's going to take. He says, here's what you're going to need. Take my armor. Saul was probably well over 6 foot tall. David is a teenager. So he puts this armor on him. You probably couldn't even see David for the armor. Gave him his sword. And David said, I can't do this. This is not me. Now, there may be a couple pictures here. I mean, here Saul is, the rejected king, trying to give David his armor when that's not what he needs. What he needs is to do with what God has put in his hands. See, you can't imitate somebody else and get to where you need to be. Hey, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Okay, so what does David do? He gets the slingshot. 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 We're not talking about this. We're talking about this. He goes down to the brook of Elah. We were there. Picked up some stones in that brook. And found 5 smooth stones. What was he doing? He was using what was at hand to use at that point in his life. See, God is going to use you with your abilities, with your gifts. The worst thing that we can do is try to be somebody else that we're not. All you are is a cheap imitation of somebody else. Why not be original? Why not be yourself? Why not let your personality come through? Why not let your gifts and your abilities come through? Why not with what God has placed in your hand? Remember when God was talking to Moses? He said, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to bring my people out. He says, well, how are we going to do this? And God asked him a question. What's in your hand? What was in his hand? A staff, a stick, a shepherd's stick. He says, throw it on the ground. It becomes a snake. Take it up. He took it up and it became a staff. And God used that stick, say stick, to deliver the nation of Israel from the armies of Egypt. See, God uses people and he uses what's in their hands. David had a sling and some stones. He was pretty good with his slingshot. So that's what he did. Here's the third thing. Ignore the dream busters. Ignore those who say, you can't do it. And everybody was telling David, you can't do this. You're too young. You don't have the right kind of stuff. He's too big. Now, the end thing in this was not Goliath. The end thing in this was David being king over Israel. This was just a step in that direction. This was a step in that direction. So everybody said, you can't do it. You can't do it. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says, when others were speaking against him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He knew what was in his heart. He says, God, you anointed me to be king. And Lord, if you anointed me to be king, guess what? Lord, I believe I shall be king. Lord, listen to the naysayers. They don't know what you know. David encouraged himself in the Lord. By the dream that was in his heart, he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know who your biggest encourager should be? You. You should encourage yourself in the Lord. You should do that. So he had to ignore the dream busters. And here's the last thing. He expected God to help him for his glory. So they go down into this valley of Elah. It's a big valley. It's kind of between two towns. And Goliath, the Bible says that Goliath cursed him by his gods. He cursed David by his gods. By the name of his gods, he cursed David. You know what David did? He told Goliath what he was going to do. Now, back when he was with the army, David made this statement. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to say this against the armies of the living God?" They were godless people. He cursed him by his God. And he told him, he says, "Today, I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds." Now, Goliath has this stuff on. He's got a shield, he's got a helmet, he's got all of this stuff. And David, one shot. Now, why five stones? He had some brothers. One shot in the forehead, strategically placed, supernatural flight, and he kills him. As he was doing what God designed him to do, the power of God was there to help it come to pass. See, we can do things that we want to do without the power of God, and the results are up to us. But listen, when we are doing what we were designed to do, God's way, guess what? His power is there to make it happen. That's our choice. That's our choice. That's what this whole series is about, doing things God's way. I want to close. Ashley wrote this poem, and she shared it with me, and I asked her if I could share it with you. And I want to close my part of this service with this poem. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. "If it is to be, then it's up to me. I'm in charge of my own destiny. To change my external, I must change within first, from inside to out, to great from worse. Forgetting the past, pressing toward the goal, increasing my faith, strengthening my soul. When energy is focus and the eyes on the prize, distractions become distant and the finish line increased in size. Character is built when there is a goal. It sets a standard when the achievement I take hold. A good goal made has a great reward, and when it is accomplished, it will bless the Lord. Does it honor God? Is it motivated by love? Will it require dependence on God? Questions I must ask to see if the goal is from above. The goal isn't met in one day, not even overnight. It's a process requiring diligence to keep the end in sight. So where do you see your future self as you begin this year? While you journey through 2017, do it in faith and not in fear." Amen. Amen. Can we stand and worship God today? And if you need prayer for any reason, feel free to come.